Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios, Coral Springs, and now you know
we're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late, now everybody. Wake up late, now everybody. Wake up late, now everybody. I said 1, 2, 3, everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday afternoon here in Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, and I'm joined by Mr. Ciro Dobrik.
Hey. Thank you.
And Ethan Moore.
Hey, what's up? Good to be here, Dougie.
And this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where we talk about comedy, the news, and we blend the comedy and the news together. Because we all know it's a big pile of shit, one way or the other.
Yeah, a lot of bad news lately.
Yeah, we took a week off. Now, when did this thing happen in Vegas? Was it Monday morning or Sunday?
It was a week ago.
Was it on Sunday? Yeah, so we didn't. We never talked about it here.
No,
on the show.
No, we didn't talk about it. Let's make it really funny, though.
Let's make fun of it somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and I got into it. You know, because listen, I'm getting tired of people like every little event deciding that the minute something happens like that, then now they're going to push their fucking political agendas.
Yeah.
And you know, like the dust hadn't even fucking settled. And like, especially on Marsha Warfield, I love her. She's a friend on Facebook, you know, from Night Court, a comedian and actress. But I had enough because she's very racial, like anti-white. Everything's like white cops this, white cops that. We're going to talk a bit about that today.
Is she white?
No, she's black. Okay. But, you know, and again, and then the hoopleheads that follow her, if you say anything that kind of like doesn't agree with what she says, you get these trolls that have gone on there, and you know, like these, you know, this one guy said some shit to me, like, you, and I said, look, if I wanted a psychological review, I'd go to a licensed therapist, you fucking douche,
right?
You know what I mean? And I would, you know, and I worry about that, but you know, but just because I don't see the way, you know, see the way you see, but I'd say it, but I unfollowed her. I didn't unfriend her. I just unfollowed her. I'm tired. I don't need, you know. Again, like we talked about on the show, if you're a comic and you want to talk about the news, make it funny. Say something funny about it. Nobody wants to hear a comic, you know, with their ideological beliefs.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate it when I go on Twitter or Facebook and it's some comedian and
right.
It's like they have to have some political agenda.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wanted to laugh, you know?
Yeah. The guy, you can't even balance your checkbook, yet you know what's best for the country.
I just like
enough
to
of this
stop
shit.
Stop seeing the fake crying on the late night
talk
shows, because, you know, they don't really care.
So. Now, did you think it was interesting that, you know, I admit I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a Republican, and you know, I follow my party, and you know, I can't watch late night TV anymore because Stephen Colbert is a fucking joke to me. I think he's horrible, and then, you know, I watch Jimmy Fallon when I do watch it, or Jimmy Kimmel, and they're both on the same thing. And again, it's easy to make fun of fucking Trump. I mean, it's like a fart joke. We talked about that before. Right. But this guy, Harvey Weinstein, you know, who basically just walked away from his company, you know, he's being accused
finally
of being, you know, he's, you know, and nobody's making fun of him. Nobody in Hollywood is going to go ahead and now, you know, and rip this guy.
With actual proof of sexual predatorness.
Right. He didn't say he's going to grab people in the pussy. He basically threatened people. Let me grab you in the pussy. Otherwise, you're not going to be in my movie.
It's easy.
Right, so nobody in Hollywood wants to take a stab at their own. Right, I mean, it's a bit of hypocrisy.
I feel like we're going to hear some Harvey Weinstein jokes.
You think so?
I hope so. I'm waiting for them.
Well, I think we should bring back Roman Polanski jokes. I don't. You know what I mean?
Well, if you look like that guy Harvey Weinstein, that ugly fuck, I mean, you'd have to use your power to get laid.
Well, he's a big time Hollywood producer. I always get surprised when I hear about these big powerful guys. Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein,
right,
using like sort of suspect methods for getting women. I'm like, don't the women just come to you?
Now, did you ever, like in your guys' past, did you ever use like your power or the moment of influence to like, you know, to get a woman in the bed?
Just you know? Once.
Just once.
Just that one time, Ciro?
Just that one time.
I used to be an academic, so I had like, you know, students that I would advise, and I would right. I taught college courses and stuff like that. And I remember one time one of the secretaries at the school, this is in Singapore, she was like, oh, that girl obviously likes you. You should go out with her. And I was like, no, she's a student. I can. And she's like, oh, I think that's fine here. Yeah. This is Singapore. And I was like, no, I can't. No, I'm not interested in that.
This isn't like the real world.
Right. So no, I've never. That was the only time I ever had any influence, and I didn't feel like comfortable using it.
Like that happened to me. If I was a martial arts instructor,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times the parents
twice.
You want to learn the secret techniques?
Yeah,
stay after.
If you really, want to know the ways of the ninja.
You have to come.
Yeah.
Oh, twice. Sure, just remembered
that's
another
martial
one.
Martial arts instructor.
I agree with you, Dougie. I don't like the. So I'm not a Trump supporter.
Right.
I'm not a Republican. I vote Democratic usually, but I'm not really a Democrat either. I don't really like the fact that there's not a talk show you can turn on anymore where it's not like a super predictable anti-Republican perspective.
Right.
You know, it's like we used to watch like I don't know, like Johnny Carson or David Letterman. Or even like Conan O'Brien, and you didn't expect to turn that on and see stuff about one political direction or the other.
Right.
And every once in a while, David Letterman or someone would like, he would attack Bill O'Reilly, and that was fun because it was so unusual.
Right.
You'd be like, they never do this. So it's interesting. But now it's like every night. I don't know. I'm not.
It's gotten a bit old. That's why I don't like it. Like, that's two things. Like, you know, the thing with football, I mean, I'm a big football fan anyway. I'm like, my team, you know. You know, but you know, this thing was interesting that Pence walked out of a game. Not that he's, you know, that's his first football game probably in a long time.
Yeah,
and you know, there may have been a setup, but
Mike Pence.
Yeah, he went to the Indianapolis Colts game, and then when some of the players didn't against the San Francisco 49ers, then when some of them didn't stand, he left.
Oh well, I heard that he just went to hang out in the locker room. So
yeah, he wanted to see the guys change with his wife, mommy.
But honestly, how many people stay through a whole Colts game? You know what I mean? Yeah.
I was going to leave anyway, so I might as well make a political statement about it. you know, so, all right, anyway, let's the big story at hand in the past week since we were off last week, of course, was the Vegas shooting. And, you know, everybody's all about gun control. You know, every fucking hooplehead on Facebook is talking about gun control. Listen, I own an AR-15. I didn't sand down the trigger so it becomes automatic as opposed to semi-automatic. You know what I mean? But I have it, and it's there. Now, why do you have it? Well, I like guns. You know, I like to go to the range every once in a while and shoot, and it's just part of something I do. I'm not a hunter, you know, but if something happened, like a Walking Dead type situation, I'd be happy I've had my AR-15. You know what I mean? I'm glad I got bullets. But what's up, Peter Kramer, by the way, Facebook Live. But I don't, you know, but I just have it because that's the way it now.
You never know when it's going to turn into a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I don't, listen, I don't buy car insurance because I'm expecting to have an accident tomorrow. I buy car insurance for that one time I do. Or, you know, I don't buy life insurance because I expect to die tomorrow. I buy it because when I do, I'm protected. So I also have a shotgun for the house, which is the best protection for the home, right? Because you don't have to worry too much about your aim. You know, when you have a nice shotgun, and I got a few handguns. So, you know, and why do I carry a handgun? Are you watching the TV? You know, I whenever I go somewhere, I have a carries permit. I take it in the car with me whenever I go somewhere, and that's it. You know what I mean? And people say, oh, you know, people bug me about that. Like, look, dude, it's like anything. If something happened to you on the street, and if we're all at a show, right, and some asshole comes up and tries to hold us up and starts, you know, you're gonna be glad I have that gun.
Absolutely.
You know?
Most of these situations are taken care of how? With a gun. So I don't really know how it's like the irony of it all, you know? For every death that happens in these horrible instances, 320 so million Americans are saved by a gun. Because if that person kept going, then...
So what you're saying is, for example... There's times out there on the streets, somebody has a gun, it protects them in a sense. Like,
right.
There's a lot more good guys with guns than there are bad guys with guns.
I am, once again, like I'm a pacifist, so I would never probably own a gun, but I do think that we should have the right to have a gun. I believe right. strongly in the Second Amendment, and I'll tell you why, because I've lived in countries where the people did not have that right. And I'll tell you what, in those countries, people are afraid of their government. And I would rather have the government be afraid of the people than the other way around. I think we should have the same guns as the citizens that police have or the military has, because one day you never know what might happen. The government might try to crack down.
As much as people complaining about Trump and the government, you'd want to have a gun so that, you know, if shit went down, you'd want to be able to take care of those guys in black that show up at your house.
I'm surprised there aren't more liberals buying guns these days.
Well, that's the thing.
I think they will be, by the way.
I think they are. And, you know, like, I mean, listen, I belong to a group of folks that if the shit went down, there's at least 10 to 15 of us, within a 10 to 15, maybe 20 mile radius, that if shit went down, a lawlessness occurred, we have our own little group of militia where our families reunite, get together, and, you know, we're trying to survive as a group. And if you don't have one of those, then you better join one.
But Dougie, do you really need that AR-15? Didn't you tell me that you had to register your hands as deadly weapons?
Well, listen, I'm not going to sit there in my karate stance when some guy has a gun.
However, I'm much more effective.
Listen, if I run out of bullets, then I'll go to the hands.
I am impressed by the one guy that opened up a tall boy and gave the finger.
Did you see that
shooter.
Guy? The photo they made a T-shirt of it by
what?
Right.
What was it
in Vegas? Strong. There's a T-shirt of some guy amidst one. The guy's shooting from the Mirage. The guy's just sitting there holding a beer in his one hand and giving the big finger.
Wow.
To the guy. Yeah.
That's America.
I mean,
that's
hardcore.
Guy, you could tell that
I mean,
guy was
stupid.
Fucked. Yeah, he was
oh, yeah,
fucked
yeah,
up.
He was drunk.
I mean, could you imagine? I mean, a night in Vegas and then that happens. Most people drink all night or
right
or doing something. The confusion that had to be there at that moment. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Well, and, you know, and I said this on the show before. I'm a survivalist. I'm a self-preservationist, and I've been in the security industry. And my wife jokes about it because when this happened, all these security people were like, "Listen, you have to be, you know, things like this happen now, so you have to be aware." You know what I mean? And every time we go somewhere, you know, my wife learned after being with so many times, like we won't go and sit somewhere. I have my back to the front door. You
wow!
Know,
really?
Yeah. No. Listen, this is way before all this shit started happening. This is her and I met. Like, I would go somewhere like
Wild Bill Hickok. You're yeah. gonna be holding those aces and eights.
Yeah, the ace and eights, dead man's hand. You know, but I'm saying, like, if I go into a place, and it's let's say whatever. It's I mean, it can even be in my neighborhood, but I'd rather be facing the door. And if I'm in a place I've never been, I already know where the exits are at. I already know, like, I already plan out in my mind if something was to go down. People think, was that crazy? It's not crazy. Nowadays, you got people going, hey, you got to do these. Now you got to do these things nowadays. If you're going to go to a concert, you better figure this shit out. If all three of us went to some event, you know, let's say we all went to a comedy show, right? And we're like, and I would probably, we were all hanging out and say, look, dudes, if anything fucking happens, you know, we're all going to meet at the Taco Bell down the street, right? We're going to, look, go out that door over there. You know what I mean?
You have a contingency plan every time you leave the
house?
All
the time, dude. I'm telling you right
now.
Wow, that's just a natural way of. It's like it's not like I. It's like it's just second nature.
It seems like it's a too much planning.
It's you know what? If you do it all the time, it's not too much planning. Trust me.
Throughout all my martial arts training and everything, that was one thing that was always apparent in the teaching is never go anywhere without being aware of what's going on around you. And that's a simple fact of life.
I feel like I stumble around and don't know what's going on around me most of the time. But I also have that ex-junkie sixth sense thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like I do sense when there's things are going to go and I can kind of, all right, I can kind of step aside from it.
My heroin sense is tingling.
Yeah, exactly. my opium sense is tingling. My needle sense.
Yeah. But listen.
I'm terrified.
It's something you need to do. Like I said, I've done it all the time, and that's the way it is. And listen, my wife, after she probably thought I was a fucking weirdo for the first few years, but then after a while, she came out and said, she goes, I feel comfortable knowing that this is something that, you know, because I'm the man, you know what I mean? Now, do you think that if something like that happened, you know, you would have charged, would you be running for your life, or would you be pulling people from the field?
I mean, I think in those situations, the problem is that there's not even, it's not even clear which way there is to pull people out of the field. Yeah, it's just like fire raining down from above. You're like, oh my God, where's it even coming from?
It seemed like
from?
Some people realized that it was coming from the, like, the, eventually you could see the fire, you know, the you know.
But that must take a while to figure out, right? Because well, it's like.
And it shouldn't, like, there in every situation like that, and that people were talking about that when it happened, there's those people that are standing around, what's going on? And they're sitting here like shocked. They're like, they're immobilized. They can't do anything. Where, you know, once I don't know about you, but I would recognize the rapid fire of an AR-15 assault rifle. And you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, some people think it's a backfire in a car or something like that. When you hear that, you know, like you said, you try to determine where it's coming from because you don't want to run towards it. Let's run away. Next thing you know, you're running into the range.
Because I feel like you'd be looking around, like, is it over there? Is it over there? And then it's like, oh no, it's like 30 floors above us. Then I would take longer to figure out.
There were so many things that happened in that situation that just didn't make any sense. Why would you turn the lights on all those people running for their lives? Like, that was one big thing. All the lights came on
after
the gunshot started, and the concert go or the whoever was on stage ran back. The concert lights came on and just shot.
Yeah, here's better vision.
Better vision. Right.
It's probably like protocol. Like when you have to have like an emergency exit, you have to turn all the house
people
lights
see
on.
Where they're going. I mean, yeah. It seemed like he didn't have a hard time spotting them out anyway. you know, if they could have done, there was something there. They should, if you shine a light up at the shooter, it distracts his vision a little bit. It's like when you're on stage and you have a bright light.
Yeah.
You can't see shit.
Yeah, they should have given that a light.
Yeah, they give the guy the light. No, time's up, buddy. The next shooter's up in 5 minutes. that shooter ran his fucking light.
By the way, what is the deal with the baby boomers, man? Baby boomer shooters. I mean, we had the guy who shot the Republican baseball diamond.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we have this guy. These guys in their 60s are blowing their tops. It's like these are all the guys that burn their draft cards instead of going to Vietnam. Now they want to get on the action.
Yeah, now they've missed the action. You know what's funny about this guy? This guy was a millionaire, right? He was a big-time gambler. And you saw the video of his brother, who's a fucking loon. You know what I mean? His brother was a loon. He's just lives in somewhere in Orlando or something.
I didn't see. I heard an interview with his brother, and his brother was obviously in shock.
No, just he's like, a loon. He's a millionaire. When he wants to go, if he wants to fly to Paris for lunch, he does it. You know, he's got millions in comps. He ate sushi all the time. Comp. They're like, and you know, but the guy had made one point. It's like sometimes for people, it's hard to understand that lifestyle. You know, the average person that doesn't get to do all the things they want to do. Because we saw that in the Obama age, you know, when somebody had money, you were looked at as a bad person if you had money. You know, that was one thing I didn't like about the Obama administration was when if you had money and you'd done well in life, you were a bad person. You know, like you don't deserve like everybody
who said that.
It all started when Obama was complaining about the CEOs flying corporate jets and shit. Uh-huh. You know, like why are they flying corporate jets? The company's being bailed out. Well. Because the company's been around for 150 fucking years, you know what I mean? And they have a corporate jet, which is usually cheaper than renting or flying a fucking plane every day for their. So, I mean, it was a way to kind of like demonize, you know, the elites. And, you know, I'm still of the belief, no matter what it is in life, those people who are successful, the majority of the people that are successful, have gotten there because of hard work, dedication, devote, you know what I mean? And all this kind of shit. You know, it's easy to, you know, to quit, you know, like I can tell you right now in the comedy world, a bit of good news is there's a lot of touring headliners, nationally touring headliners, you know, that on the B list, let's call them, that are walking away from this business. Number one, because there's not as many rooms, there's not enough pay. And a lot of these people are like, fuck, I need a retirement.
Huh.
I know at least a dozen people that have walked away. So we kind of need that because it's all this influx of comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Young
That's
comedians
good for us.
Coming in. Yeah, yeah, like they need a fresh batch. But, you know, me with this traveling, with this sickness and stuff, believe me, I was flying home this weekend like, oh, man. As much as I love this, you know, how would it be for me if I just stayed home and managed money for a living?
Comedy is one of the toughest roads. It really seems like
this. Your soul wouldn't feel better.
And, yeah, you got to go for what you really believe you should be doing, whether or not it makes you money. I think that's true in life. And then, you will work hard at it. And hopefully you'll get rewarded for it. I'm a big fan of capitalism. I don't, and I feel like our society is capitalist. And at some level, I think there's always, like, praise for people who do well at that.
Now that's the thing. We're not. We're almost in an age where people who have things are being demonized, and that, like, oh, you know, they must have screwed somebody to get there. I saw a video somebody posted on Facebook. I saw it last night. I guess it's from Berklee College, which, you know, fucking place could go to burn to the ground and we wouldn't lose anybody. But there were students that were protesting.
It's a great institution of higher learning, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's a free school, isn't it?
You know, that's where they developed. That's where some of the scientists that developed the atomic bomb came from.
Oh, yeah.
UC Berklee?
Yeah.
University of California, Berklee?
Yeah, I think most of them come from Germany. So there was these students that protested. There was these students that protested taking their exam. And they were trying to plead to the professor that some of these students don't have a house, they don't live at home, and, you know, they have all these issues about they can't study, they don't have enough food, you know, so they shouldn't have to take the test. Well, guess what? You don't have to take the fucking test. You don't have to pass college. You don't have to get a degree. There's a lot of things you don't have to do, but we're not going to give it to you. You can't expect to go, okay, you know what? You're going to be, you don't have to take this test. We'll just give you an A. That's not the way life works.
There was a study I read. There's a exam you got to take to be a teacher in New York. And they were taking that exam away because black people and Latin people were feeling like the test was racist.
Right.
Well, it's not racist to be really, really smart. Okay. And learn, you know what I mean? Like, if you... The problem is racist against you only. There can't be just.
I think they don't even mean
it's
racist.
It's a slippery,
like, bias.
They mean
sense.
They mean like culturalist or
culturally
something.
Culturally biased.
Yeah, culturally biased. But I actually think that's bullshit, right? Like, you should be able to be fluent in the culture that you're trying to teach in. Right. Doesn't that make sense?
That's
You shouldn't. You shouldn't like. It's almost like, again, bring it back to our comedy world. It's almost like saying, oh, listen, this person didn't have the chances we had to be funny, so let's just get a person who's not funny on stage because we feel bad
right.
for where
affirmative
they came
action
from. Yeah.
For comics. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Everyone's the same. Everything's equal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, and you're not laughing hard enough, sir.
What's up, Pasquini? Pasquino? What the fuck? Pasquino Belisario Pagano.
There were two interviews that happened for this Vegas thing that made it really interesting. The brother, first of all.
Right.
The first interview, maybe he was shocked. The second time they caught up with him, man, he didn't know how to hide what he knew.
He should have shut up.
I didn't see the second one. I just heard the first one. He was like, oh, my God, my mom's, like, sick, and he's... And we had one. I moved with him, and he had one gun. What the hell? How the fuck did this happen? He was crying.
In the
almost.
Second interview, he was saying, like, look, it takes one. Nothing. He gives a bellhop $100, and they'll carry in the bags. Oh, these are heavy. Yeah, you know, I got a lot of books I got to read. They're not going to ask questions. You expect the bellhop to go, are these guns? They're not going to do that.
Mid answer, he stopped and said, please don't listen to what I just said. Like,
yeah.
What?
Wait, but what he said that he's just talking about how the bellhop probably helped him get the guns in.
He was basically justified. Like, he was one of the things I will say. He had a point. And like I said earlier,
they're not paid to ask questions. By the way,
yeah, no, they're not. They're just yes, sir. No, they're just yeah.
Not for $100.
Yeah, whatever. You know, if it's like a foot hanging out, you know, the bag of like, hey,
like what's
I'm
in the bag? Oh, that's cocaine. Now shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Any rate, so that's what happened. With that, also, real quick, when we were gone, Ralphie May died. You talk about making room for more headliners.
Yeah, we can probably fit 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was fucking huge. I mean, yeah, I saw a photo. You see, you know.
All right, Dougie, enough with the fat jokes. Okay,
I know, but I mean, and then of course, you know, so he died. And Tom Petty, who I was one of my favorite,
super skinny, ironically.
Yeah, but he lived to 66, right? Frankie May died. Ralphie May died at 44, right? When he
both early though. By the way, like Tom Petty, not that old for. I guess he's kind of old for a rocker.
Yeah,
but how old is Keith Richards? You know,
well that guy, you know, he stuns everybody.
Yeah,
is he even still alive? Do we know that for sure?
It's like a Tupac style hologram.
Two things I want to cover with football real quick.
Well, did you know Ralphie? Can I just ask Dougie?
I never met him. Never worked with him. So.
Okay. Me neither.
I met him. I worked with him.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Good guy. No, by the way, Mark Brown super says, funny. No upside to guns. Yes, there is. You protect your family. And anybody says there's no upside to guns, that just means, you know, you know,
you saying no upside.
The Revolutionary War.
What about when the government comes wanting to tell you what to do? I mean,
yeah, you got listen. Every once in a while, you got to have that stuff to step up for yourself. And people say these ain't the days when they wrote to protect your family hasn't changed. And like I can tell you right now, there's an overwhelming level of security knowing in this house that if shit happened, somebody broke in or, you know what I mean, whatever happened, that my family's not going to be a victim. Look, there could be ways that if somebody came into this house or planned to try to get in this house, I'm sure if somebody really tactically tried to do a good job, they could probably come in here and do damage. But if some schlep just tried to get in this house and do something, they would not leave this house.
No chance.
They would leave this house on a gurney. By the way, and also says here that he doesn't like Mark doesn't also like Ralphie May. They said that he beat his wife. I didn't know.
Okay,
he was
really
beat Mark's wife.
That's, he beat your wife.
I didn't know that about Ralphie, but it's just funny. He's like, yeah, that guy died. Fuck him. He beat his wife. I'm like, yeah. Well, okay,
that's justification for dying.
I like a source on that, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know he was married.
I guess I believe it, but. Yeah. Is that the first thing you say when the guy died?
She beat his wife because she took his hot dog.
Yeah, right.
You ate the last piece of cake, bitch.
Well, I guess she had the last laugh.
Yeah.
Pork and beans.
The government found out that they can make money on guns. No, government doesn't make fucking money on guns. People who sell guns and gunsmiths make money on guns.
Well, there are taxes, right?
No, I mean, maybe. It's not anything else, like any sales tax, you know. Here's what I do think. We should, when it comes to gun control, there should be more laws. In the sense that, look, I wouldn't mind as gun owner if every couple of years they did, you would have to go and, do a continued ed. Like, if you're in teaching, like, in my job as a financial advisor, every couple of years I need 20-something hours of continued education. Like, right now I'm doing this reg ed where I got to go online and restudy all this shit and pass these stupid tests. So I wouldn't mind if you're a gun owner, especially if you own a rifle like that, if they still keep them around, that you should have to go in person.
Huh.
And be interviewed every couple of years. That way, you know what I mean? Almost you take like a psychology test or some sort and maybe a background check. See if you're on medications for mental health and all this shit. In other words,
evaluation.
I don't know. So then if you don't pass, they could take it away?
Absolutely. Dougie, I wouldn't. I'd be for that.
Dougie, let me tell you about something called the Second Amendment, okay? It says it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
So you think you're all for that? You know, people are liberals are saying they were mad at Trump because he said if you have mental disabilities or whatever, they lifted it from not being able to, because Obama did that, right? They made it hard if you had a mental illness or something like that where you couldn't protect yourself with a gun. But Trump said, no, that's it. We're getting rid of that rule or law. Which if you're a human being, you should fall under the Second Amendment.
It says infringed.
Yeah.
Their definition of the mentally ill were people that would use financial planners to plan their finances.
That's what they mean by weak minded.
Mm. That's what they said, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty stretching.
I don't want to hand like people with, you know, psychos guns or terrorist guns. I think that's terrible. I don't know the right answer, but I have a hard time thinking that the right answer is for the government to decide. Oh no, maybe we'll just take a gun away from this guy. He seems like.
Yeah.
A little bit of a threat to what we're trying to do.
In my personal opinion, the day to talk about gun control was the day after they were invented. Because after that, people made them themselves, and then there were millions of guns, and now you can't do nothing about that.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to do anything. No one's going to get their gun taken from them. That's not going to happen, especially with AR-15s and assault rifles.
No, it doesn't matter who the president is. And that's a false political issue, too. Like, Trump was out there saying, like, if Hillary was president, you'd be handing your guns in. Not true. No president can make you hand your guns in.
No, that's never going to happen.
It's just not.
The Second Amendment will hold tight no matter how people are killed, how many people are killed by it. Well, that's the opening part of our show.
You guys laughing or what?
Yeah. I don't care if you're laughing or
I wish there was an answer to this one, but it doesn't seem like there is.
There isn't one. Here's the answer. If you don't like guns, don't carry them. You know what I mean? If you're against guns, don't own one. Don't have one in your home.
Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it.
And if you're for them, then you have the right to buy it. And I could tell you, I feel fucking great when I go to a gig in Miami somewhere and I got my gun in my car and it's 3 a.m. or something. And I'm coming home. You know, I feel great. I feel comfortable. I don't feel like, you know, I don't know about you guys, but the same thing. When I'm in a car at a stoplight somewhere, You know, and yeah, I. You ever do that? Are you smart enough to do that when you're at a light? You don't want to get carjacked. You don't have your rearview mirror set, so you make sure no one just sneaks up on your ass.
No, I don't do that. I feel like people are always afraid they're going to get shot at a concert or carjacked or what. Like, if you think about it, the chances of that's not how you die. How you die is how Ralphie May died. You eat one too many hot dogs.
Yeah,
that's the statistically. More that's likely. How Americans die.
Yeah,
or you get sideswiped while you're on the freeway, like something like that. Like. That's way more dangerous. Driving your car is more dangerous than sitting at an intersection.
What's up, Jeff Anderson?
Depends on what intersection.
Yeah. Well, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and we're not getting shot here.
Because Dougie's got that AR-15.
That's right. It's right there in the closet with some guy that won't come out. Anyway, we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Jose Sardui, and you are listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Or as my dad would say, this is Jose Sardui, and you listening to the Wake Up with Dougie Late show. He wake up late. Is he lazy? I don't understand. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. That's right. I didn't talk about it in the first segment, but the Miami Dolphins offensive line coach gets caught on video doing lines.
That is an offense.
Isn't that funny? This is a line.
Well, it's Miami, okay? You know?
Yeah. Listen, if
welcome
you ever
to Magic City.
I don't feel bad for these people because I've been in parties where people break out their phone. And, you know, one time my buddy Rick, we're sitting there partying like crazy. And some fucking idiot started taking out the phone. And he smacked the phone right out of the person's hand. Like, what are you fucking, you know, like.
What do you mean taking out the phone?
Like they were just—they thought they were high, so they were like, "Hey, it's like interviews with people." I'm like, and he smacked the phone and went flying and broke against the wall. And the guy was like, "What the fuck? Like, dude, what are you nuts? You're gonna take video of it? We got cocaine and pills all over the place. What are you nuts?" And you got to be high because I don't know if you've ever done cocaine.
Oh yeah,
nope.
Yeah,
no.
You never
zero?
Done cocaine, sir?
I know, no, I have not done.
Well,
cocaine.
Listen, when you're on cocaine, everything's
fine.
I've done
so much cocaine.
Yeah, you do cocaine, everything's cool.
Yeah,
you imagine if I did, how nice that would be.
I know. Oh, right? You might go cocaine. The other direction.
Zero,
you know?
Go up there and be all quiet.
Yeah, you'd be like chill.
You'd be like Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Zero turns into Stephen probably. Wright when he's all coked. But the guy resigned, and the Miami Dolphins, although they beat the Tennessee Titans this weekend.
Yeah.
Which, good for them. Now, here's interesting. You know, there's like everybody's talking about football players not standing up for the national anthem. There was a girl who was suspended from high school, 17-year-old girl who was suspended from high school because she sat during the national anthem.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. And, what the fuck happened here?
I'm always against the principals and the school administration.
There's two kids in Texas, I think it was, that their coach sat the team down and said, listen, I'm a veteran. I really hold this to be true to my heart. Please do not kneel for the anthem.
I hope the kids were like, fuck you.
Two football players got kicked off the team.
Two were.
Wow.
Just selfish.
I say like, free speech is patriotic, Zero. I like those kids.
Yeah.
That would be my crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, I don't mind.
He's a veteran. What did you fight for? You fought for the right to protest.
You sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Most important right.
Yeah, I think. Here's the thing. I believe any of those athletes, whoever wants to protest, do it. But understand, you have the freedom of speech to do so. But there's also when you exercise freedom of speech, people have the right to judge you.
Sure.
So it's okay if you do it. Look, Colin Kaepernick is saying now that he'll stand.
I saw that. I was like, Colin, you motherfucker. Yeah. You let me down.
I'll fucking stand up. Fuck, I'll do flip-flops. I'll do flips and shit if you want me
He's
to.
He's like, I need another check.
What a racist organization. He's begging to be part of it.
Isn't that the funniest thing you read, though? Like, he'll stand if he can just get on the team. Just throw the fucking ball straight, you prick.
Wow.
You know, the biggest argument about the free speech, you have every right to protest, do whatever you want, but you also have a platform. You're a millionaire. You don't think you can ask for a weekly segment on the news?
Well, listen, that's my point in this thing was, that's fine. If you're against it, and, you know, that's great. But, you know, just donate. You know, donate more to, you know, go out there and work with the kids in the community so that shit doesn't happen. And, you know, somebody showed a Facebook video this week of this big ass, I don't know if he's black, Hispanic cop, was punching a Spanish kid from the back of the head. Guy. But the Spanish kid was on top of another cop.
Yep.
And these fucking hoople heads are saying he's using too much force again. Listen, and I put on there, what are you guys, retarded? The guy's on top of the cop. He can grab the gun and shoot him if he wants. I don't give a shit if the other cop is punching him or smashing a brick against his fucking head. He's a bad guy. I don't have sympathy for bad people. If you attack a cop, you're going to get shot, kicked, you're going to get that, you know what I mean? What the fuck? How could you what if that fucking asshole just raped your mom? Are you going to still feel bad that the cop is beating his ass? This was a story. Drunk school principal defecates in front of students during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. That girl wasn't standing up for.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
In Springfield,
Ohio.
He was
sitting down, too.
Oddly enough.
He was squatting.
What is in the water?
Springfield, Ohio, an intoxicated school principal at Franklin Middle School was arrested this morning after literally defecating in front of hundreds of students during the Pledge of Allegiance. Andrew Whitmore, 53, was visibly under the influence of alcohol when he decided to throw down his pants and defecate on the schoolyard in front of bewildered students.
Well, those stirring patriotic words must have moved him.
Yes, Dougie. Some sort of movement. He was obviously drunk because he started hitting on an ugly chick. Whitmore later admitted to the police officers that he had spent the night drinking and smoking crystal meth. Well, why don't you just admit that you fucking killed Jimmy Hoffa? He said the situation with Donald Trump and the national anthem had really pissed him off, and that he didn't remember doing the things he had done. He allegedly had a blackout and doesn't remember defecating in front of the school, he explained.
That's funny when you're like, officer, no, you don't understand. I was high on crystal meth.
Yeah. I'm not guilty of shooting.
By the way, do you got any more?
You would have done the same thing in my shoes.
Yeah. You ever do that much crystal meth? Hey, you're right. That's how ignorant our society's become. Everybody has a justification for their actions. Everybody thinks they have a good reason for what they do. And not in my book, okay? Now, this was a story I thought was pretty fucked up. But Dove, you know, the soap, ran an ad.
Not the ice cream?
No.
Same company, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it?
I think so.
Could you imagine if they mistake the Dove bar packaging with the fucking soap?
This is brown.
This tastes like shit. Yeah. Dove apologizes for adverts showing black women transforming into a white model to show you how good the soap works.
Wow.
Dove has issued an apology for advertising campaign.
Oh, I want to watch that.
Branded racist, which included an image of a black woman removing her top to reveal a white model underneath. The series of adverts, which have provoked an outcry on social media, because that's what people do on social media. They fucking cry about everything. After being circulated on Facebook, also showed a third image portraying a Caucasian woman transforming into an Asian woman as she undresses.
Huh.
That is some good soap.
I guess it's sort of in poor taste. I don't know.
I couldn't think, like, in all the... I always try to find some sort of... Like, there's people sitting in marketing going, here's my idea.
Right.
And, you
and
know,
we'll have all different races transforming into others.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
And so I was watching an interview on TV this morning, and somebody says, what happens if there's a white woman...
Right.
...that, you know, took her shirt off and it was black? Like, would that have been racist then? You know, because it's like, it's insinuating... Right. If you have a
and
racial,
then she starts rapping.
Yeah, and I see her credit score go down, and she dates like you know, the white. You know, the black girl turns into a white girl, white blonde. She gains 20 pounds. Some black guy hits on her.
100% cotton shirt.
That reminds me, like in Asia, I always noticed this weird phenomenon, which is they would sell these whitening creams
right.
to women, and it was really, really popular. So like there was always this thing of like you don't want your skin to get too dark. You want to be as white as possible if you're Asian, and it was considered more beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this racism or is it like a cultural preference? Like race isn't the same over there. It's just a different thing.
Isn't it like even like in the black community, don't like Isn't there like racism within between like the blacks, the darker you are versus lighter black?
Sure. Yeah,
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I think that's especially true in African American because it's like, you know, this is the legacy of slavery. It's like you right. have people who are like the offspring of like a slave and a slave master. And eventually, you know, you get down to someone who actually can pass for white.
Right.
So then that's like, well, that person can make more money and be more successful in life and bring more back to the family. So
see, that's why Thomas Jefferson was banging all those black women because he wanted to try to,
yes,
you know.
Yes, it was an act of charity. That's right, Dougie. It was that's
equal the playing field.
And listen, I've had my share of black women. They're beautiful. I was always an equal opportunity dater.
Me too. You know,
I didn't care.
All you know,
shades I got mad
for
at
me.
I got mad at my buddy one time years ago because he was like, "That's a good looking black chick." I go, "Dude, she's a good looking chick." Okay, you know what yeah. I mean? Let's not. You know, it doesn't make a difference. Don't differentiate. But here's a black chick that's a dumb cunt. Cops, woman stomped and kicked her little dog in Aventura. You got to watch this video. She's like stepping on it and kicking it and shit. Jeez. The dog, little dog is, you know, was fine. It didn't like it. It's like it kind of dealt with it a little bit.
She's
you know?
Stomping on her dog.
Not the first stomp.
In an yeah. elevator?
Yeah. Like she walks in the elevator, the dog's there and she's like gets backs in the corners, like stepping on it and like, you know, like.
Is she in the NFL
walking.
Or?
Yeah. It looked like the same elevator that Jay-Z and Beyonce were in. October 5th, a woman is facing a felony animal abuse charge after she was recorded kicking and stomping her small dog inside an elevator at a Florida condominium.
What kind of dog was it?
It was a...
I'm trying to get the whole picture in my head here.
Definitely wasn't a photo big dog.
There's a photo of her and of the dog. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's bad.
It's like kind of like
you could go online and see it.
Little Shih Tzu or something.
Police allege that Kiovona Cianti Wilson, 24, attacked the dog last month in Aventura. The September 20th incident was recorded by a surveillance camera inside the elevator that Steve Wynn hooked up. The luxury architect condominium, according to the police, subsequently identified Wilson, seen there in the picture, as the alleged abuser and arrested her on Tuesday. They said the footage was happened upon stomping on Chastity, which was the dog. The puppy, a Shih Tzu.
Oh, there you go.
Shih Tzu Yorkie.
Wow, that's a small dog.
Mixed name, Chastity.
Yeah.
Was removed from Wilson's custody, thank God, by the Miami-Dade Animal Service, which provided medical care, blah, blah, blah. They said the dog wasn't injured, but it whimpered when you grabbed it.
Scared.
She was charged with animal cruelty and a $5,000 bond.
It's a Shih Tzu, so that's a Chinese dog, right? So
you should have known karate.
She's racist, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely racist.
Too bad the dog didn't know kung fu. In an online post, Wilson has described herself as an aspiring actor, model, dancer. Well, the dancer's probably the only thing that's part of that. On the Model Mayhem website, Wilson refers to herself as the flawless beauty. Oh. Well, there's narcissism. At its best. And the notes that my foundation is to stay focused, stay hungry, and always stamp on your fucking pets.
She's like, no, my personal trainer prescribed this workout.
You imagine a Playboy centerfold. Turn-ons, stomping dogs, turn-offs.
Forget about people. Step aerobics. Step on your dog aerobics. you know, I hate when I see these animal, because I'm obviously a dog owner. Mm-hmm. And then you watch these people that just do that shit.
Your cute little dog is just licking my finger here a minute ago.
Was he?
Yeah.
No, he was just licking his ass earlier, too.
That's great.
Tastes just like
and not later, I'll be scratching my ass. So, you know, it goes around, comes around, hey, I guess.
Somebody's going to get the flu.
That's how I got it last time. That's where we were out last week.
Yeah. Yeah, we caught around the same time.
We all got sick.
Because you messaged saying you weren't going to feel good to make it. And yeah. I was sitting there like, you know, you're not feeling good when you try to swallow and this phlegm keeps your top part of your mouth stuck to you.
It's bad.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what? I got to get ready for my trip.
I had to cancel two radio projects last week because I was also doing this thing where we're going to read this radio play that this comic Matt Heath wrote. So I'm for that and then for the show. Both times I was just like, my voice sounds like shit. Yeah. I cannot go on the radio right now. So
here's a dumbass award. No, Dunkin' Donuts does not accept drugs as a payment for a cup of coffee.
Hmm.
A Dunkin' Donuts patron tried to pay for a cup of coffee with a prescription muscle relaxant, according to the Florida police who arrested the man on drug charge. Richard Bork, 30, allegedly tried the coffee for pills game, or gambit, late on Monday, evening at a Dunkin' Donuts in Pinellas Park. Isn't that on the West Coast? An employee told police that when she rejected Bork's barter offer of unknown pills, he walked out.
Unknown pills. Here's a handful of random pills.
Yeah.
It's like Jack and the Magic Beanstalk. I'll trade you these magic beans for a donut.
I remember the days in South Beach when you used to do Molly, you know, like ecstasy and stuff, and you would just trust people. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Sucked. You know, cops subsequently located Bork at the nearby McDonald's where somebody took the pills for a hamburger. After he reportedly agreed to be searched, a patrolman located 8 pills that were later identified as methocarbamol.
Wow.
Oh, the good
a
shit.
A drug prescribed for muscle pain and stiffness.
That is not good shit. That's boring.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's nothing.
All you do is get laid back.
I think, yeah, it's like it's literally just a muscle relaxant.
Right.
It's not going to get you high,
it's
really.
Not like Percocet, or is it?
No.
Yeah.
Here's the most shocking part of this story, though. A donut store clerk did not take the free drugs.
Yeah. Okay, here, take a donut with it.
Right? Like, if you're going to be able to trade your drugs anyway, you think it would be a person selling donuts or... Yeah, maybe he got it at the McDonald's. I don't know.
Bork was... He did not have a prescription for the drugs. Bork was not charged with boosting the Dunkin' Donuts coffee either. Bork yesterday pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge of possession of drugs without a prescription. And he was fined $550, which he tried to pay with a bottle of aspirin.
Now, that wasn't the failed Supreme Court justice nomination, Robert Bork, was it?
No.
From back in the day? Okay.
Bork. aren't those villains on Star Wars, Star Trek? Oh, those Borg.
Borg.
Assimilate.
They're Borgs.
Just people are, like, you remember when you're in high school and you're banging a girl in the back seat?
You banged girls in high school?
Yeah, I did. I was one of those lucky few. And then the cops show up. You ever get, I got busted in the park one time. You know, the windows are all fogged up and stuff. And the guy comes, taps on the window with the flashlight.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, oh, shit. You know, and you panic and you put on your clothes. But in Wisconsin, this duo refused to stop. The cop goes out the window. Hey, cut that fucking. Like, guy's like, fuck you. I'm not done yet.
I sympathize with this guy. I like this guy.
I kind of like that. If you can imagine if
you're
it's a
focused,
girl.
Yeah.
October 3rd, a pair of naked Wisconsinites repeatedly ignored a cop's demand that they cease having sex in the backseat of a parked car, a brush off that resulted in their arrest for engaging in lewd and lascivious conduct. According to police, a La Crosse resident yesterday called 911 around 3:25 a.m. to report a suspected prowler in the alley behind their home. When officers Aaron Westfall responded to the call, the resident said she had been awoken by the sound of two individuals having sex inside a car, and she hadn't had sex in years, so she was pissed.
She was mad.
Somebody's getting laid in my fucking neighborhood, and it's not me.
I sympathize, man. I mean, you've all been in the... You guys have been in the zone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the phone rings, you're like, fuck it, you know? Fire alarm goes off, you're like, fuck it, we'll die. Who cares,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, cop knocking on the door. Fuck
yeah,
it.
Cop's not... Let me come, officer, please.
Parents walk in. That actually happened in one of the shows. Dr. Grins this weekend, there was this young couple sitting in the front and like an older couple behind them. So I was just fucking around. I said, is this your daughter? Like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, is this your boyfriend? And they're like, yeah, you know. And I'm like, did you ever catch them, you know, fucking? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, you know, they're fucking, right? And the guy was like, he started strangling the kid from behind. Yeah.
Wow, Dougie, ruining people's lives.
Yeah, the kid was pissed. He's young. I thought
it's like not anymore.
Yeah,
I was.
Did you ever get caught by parents? Like I had one time.
First time.
Yeah,
really.
My mom walked in on me. My mom walked in once in my room when in home, and my dad walked in once. He just walked in, looked for, and he shut the door. And then the worst thing. I was dating this young girl. I was her first, and we were in her pool, and. And I put her on the deck and I was going down on her. And I guess her dad had seen it. We didn't know he was home, but he looked out the sliding glass door. And then I found out the next day. He's like, my dad saw us. I was like, oh shit. And he fucking guy never smiled at me again.
That's almost worse than sex, really. You know?
Yeah.
Like if I don't know, I don't have a daughter, but I just imagine if I came home and saw some dude with his face in the middle of the pie right there, I'd be more pissed than if they were just, he was just banging her.
Yeah. Cause it's like,
It's harder for the father's mind to cope with. I think
about
it.
You're right, because like it's one thing if like you're on top of her and you're having sex. It's almost like two cave people, you know, just trying to procreate. But if you're going down on her, It's like, now he's really fucking with my daughter.
Who the worst? I think I'd rather see anal than like 69 or something. You know? I mean, he came in and
yeah, could you imagine? Oh, my. How bad would that be if you caught your daughter blowing somebody?
That'd be bad,
that would
too.
That'd probably be the worst.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, 69 or something. And she's taking the whole thing down.
Right.
You know, my God, where she learned that? Her mom doesn't do that. they really get pissed off because the mom's not doing it.
That's how those porn categories start anyway.
Yeah.
Daddy loves stepdaughter.
Lenny Travis.
Oh.
Lenny Travis do a joke. He's like, we did a story about this girl who was doing porn, and she was like sleeping with animals or something, you know, like a horse, one of these horse things or something. And she calls her dad. She goes, Dad, I want to tell you something. I'm a porn actress. Oh, my God. Wait, there's more. yeah, well. I don't know if a cop caught me, I'd wait. I'd finish. You know, what's he going to do? You're not going to have a bigger offense. You know, you're not going to go to jail longer.
I feel like you might be ticking up from a misdemeanor to a felony at some point there.
Like resisting.
I think so.
Cuz I think the cop has a lot of discretion. Yeah, so he could probably be like, "You know what? Since you had to bust that nut, Junior."
Guess what?
Well, there was a couple up in North Florida that were having sex on the beach, got caught, and now they are in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that on the West Coast? Weren't they on the West Coast? It was like a young chick with a
Pinellas
dude.
Pinellas County, I believe.
Yeah, and then they have to register as sex offenders.
Yeah.
Our society is insane with these laws, I swear.
Well, it goes too far. But it was in the middle of the day. They were fucking on, you
okay,
know.
Should be illegal, but like, you're still in prison? That happened like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You're still in prison and you're sex offenders? I don't know.
But he was like 40-something years old and she was 23 or something. So, and she was pretty hot.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, you listen. Trust me. I mean, when I was in, I was dated older women.
Where was he going to go? His wife is home.
Right.
<You
know>? Yeah. I can't go home. My wife's there.
The boyfriend was there blowing his daughter. Can't go anywhere. Go to the beach.
By the way, Joel Gokbach says, great show. My only problem is, why is Ciro so quiet?
Ciro, perk up, man.
I don't know.
He's saving his energy for the stage.
Yeah, he's got his 19th hole tonight and out in Pembroke Park or Hallandale.
Hallandale areas. I don't know why I'm so quiet. Respect.
Can I just take a minute to promote Ciro's mic? I love that mic. Man, yeah. Ciro does that mic every Monday night. And I actually haven't been there recently. I've just been in and out of town doing a bunch of stuff. But like, that is one of the great mics in South Florida. You can go there and Ciro lets you do, I don't know, like 15 minutes sometimes if you want.
Yeah.
It's a good workout.
And God bless him because it's outdoors in the summer heat. You know? Yeah. I don't know how you do it.
Still works.
And then the train runs by every once in a while. It's kind of a little intermission moment.
True. Ciro goes to that venue. He's like, this will work.
That's a great room for working out new stuff.
Here's a story. Time traveling drunk man says he was sent from the year 2048 to warn of an alien invasion. A drunk man was arrested by cops in Wyoming this week. Says he had traveled back in time from the year 2048 to warn civilization about the imminent arrival of aliens.
Wow.
And he meant Mexicans. But first, a visit to recent past. On Monday night, authorities in Casper received a call about a visibly drunk man claiming to be from the future. Officers arrived to find Bryant Johnson warning that aliens will be coming next year and that people should leave as soon as possible. Where are we going
to
go?
Leave to where? What does that mean?
Get off the earth.
Yeah. Hey, Barbuda, you should evacuate. Where?
No one's left on that fucking island.
But, Ciro, wait. So you believe this one? I mean, time-traveling guy.
First of all.
This is one of those stories where you're like.
It happened in Wyoming, so that's completely true.
Okay.
It's in Casper. The spiritual ghost thing that goes along with that. There's
okay.
Something going on there.
Johnson was so concerned about his mission to save humanity that he requested to speak to the president of the town. He never took a civics course.
Well, it's different in the future, Dougie. You know, I mean.
How'd they know
it was
him?
The system of government has changed.
He was driving a DeLorean.
Yeah, and he had a pair of fucking Nikes. Cops said Johnson had bloodshot eyes, slurred speech, and a blood alcohol reading exceeding legal limits. But the alleged time traveler has perfectly logical explanation. The only way that aliens could send him back in time was to fill his body with alcohol.
I was just going to say.
That's great.
Does anybody know why there's a legal limit of 0.08? It has nothing to do with driving. The more you drink, the closer to aliens you get.
Yeah, you know, every science fiction story has some kind of time traveling device, right? It's always like in the Terminator, you have to take your clothes off to travel back in time, right? In this guy's version, you got to get super drunk.
Yeah,
you got to prime the pump. You know, that's how the temporal tunnel opens up.
The only way you could travel through, the only way you could travel through a wormhole is if you drink a 6-pack of Bud Light.
Natural ice.
David Tell used to have a joke about time travel. He was like, I like when I get drunk, I like to black out, or as I call it, time travel.
Yeah.
Right? But that's going forward. This guy figured out how to black out and go back.
Go back.
How did that happen?
You got to drink Pabst Blue Ribbon. Now, this is an interesting, I've been to Costa Rica a few times.
Wow.
And I always say it's to go fishing. But YouTube had to remove video advertising for a Colombian sex island holiday. This is great. They actually touted all the cocaine, all the booze, and all the prostitutes. It's like an all-inclusive club. You know?
And as much herpes and AIDS as you want, too.
And all the STDs you can carry home. A Colombian company who released an erotic video advertising a 4-day sex and drugs holiday on a private island have had the clip removed by YouTube. The film was produced to promote the Good Girls Company's Sex Island. Welcome to Sex Island.
Welcome to...
Wow.
The plane.
Can you send me the link for this, Doug?
Yeah, I'm going to call Expedia, see if they have this on the... The film was produced to promote the Good Girls Sex Island experience, which offers 30 men the chance to book a trip with 60 prostitutes available 24 hours a day. Well, I only need them for 5 minutes, so... The island is off the coast of Cartagena, Colombia.
Ooh.
And the film begins by following one man's journey from his flight to the island, explaining that airport transfers and boat transfers are included in the price.
See, this is what's wrong with our country. You know, we need to make drugs and prostitution legal here. So otherwise, we're not exporting those good American jobs, goddammit.
Why do these girls in Colombia get all the work?
Those could be American hookers and American cocaine dealers.
Do you ever have sex with a Colombian hooker, though?
South American, yes.
Yeah, but Colombian hookers, they get your shoes after. And
So they're very similar to the Asian hookers.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're very, exactly. It's like, it's a real... girlfriend experience, more like a wife experience.
Right.
Talk about funny hooker stories. Again, during this Las Vegas investigation thing, they're talking to a retired Las Vegas detective. He's like, you know, we've outsourced all of our options of finding out how it is. So we are now looking at all the prostitution rings. We're asking them questions. And I'm like,
well, he was a high roller.
Hey, isn't it supposed to be illegal there? How come there's rings?
Well, because you think illegal stuff doesn't happen in legal places?
I'm just saying you shouldn't. I don't know.
Prostitution. What do you mean?
You're going to pretend it's illegal.
What, in Vegas?
Yeah.
Isn't it legal?
Technically prostitution is illegal. It's legal in Nevada, but not in towns over a certain population.
Oh, okay.
So it's technically illegal in Las Vegas. But come on.
Vegas. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that's how they're going to find the killer's motive.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying that this guy...
smart, actually.
They were actually searching for another woman he was with besides that Filipino chick. And so one of the newscasters was like, oh, just like that for a guy to be in Vegas with a woman, not his girlfriend or wife. Yeah. Well, sounds like a fun trip, man. Maybe we can do that next year for the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show reunion.
Oh, my God. That sounds great. Off. 60 prostitutes and all the cocaine you can ingest?
Yeah. Boy, everybody want to be on this show.
Cartagena.
Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
It was a good show, guys.
We had a fun time today. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks, Peter Kramer. I am feeling a little better, although I'm hoping to fly out this week. By the way, guys, I'm going to New York City. I'm going to be doing spots at Dangerfields, Greenwich Village Comedy Club, Broadway Comedy Club, and Gotham. I'm going to be at Gotham Comedy Club on Thursday night, the 8 o'clock show. Real excited about that show and the All-Star Showcase. Which I'm hoping somebody from Saturday Night Live or will be there to catch my ass to do that. By the way, also, if you're in South Florida, this week's Wise Guys Comedy Show is going to be great. You talk about Vegas. You got Bruce Smirnoff as the host, longtime comic, is hosting. B.J. Odom from the west coast of Florida, who's a magic comic, does magic and comedy.
Okay.
And Jerry Halliday, who does the puppets. He's got like the Madam puppets and shit. It's going to be a fucking great show.
Nice.
It's going to be a well-packed show. It's only $10 at Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's. Just $10. Call 954-509-0046. We need you to show up because the last few weeks we haven't. If people don't show up, there's not going to be a show anymore. Just letting you know. I'm not going to keep putting up with that shit. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Follow the show at Twitter at WakeUpDougie. Follow me at Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Sarah?
October 19th, Packy Sports Bar in Pompano Beach. I'm headlining that show. Every Monday, we have a show, Comedy Mondays, at the 19th Hole in Hollandale. And you can catch me on social media at Zero Comic.
Ethan?
October 17th, that's Tuesday, come to 33rd Street Wine Bar to see me hosting a show, and Ramon Garcia is the headliner. Also, you can just check out all my shows and everything on my social media. That's at Ethan Is Not Funny, Twitter or Instagram.
That's very honest of him, by the way.
It's ironic, Dougie, because I'm fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Using the irony ploy. Don't forget, guys, you can hear us on Bubba Army Radio on the weekends on Saturday and Sunday from 4 to 6. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or, of course, at wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Where all our episodes going back to 2013 are on there. And tomorrow we'll be back here in the studio with myself, Peter Leonard, and Mr. Elgin David right here at the same spot. Take care, and we'll see you then.
Have a good night.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. Of imagination through the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes,